And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
And I am he. It is great to be with you again today, and I'm fired up today. You know, I was with a friend last night doing a taping, really had a nice time, and I was commended on the fact that I'm always upbeat. I'm always expressing this joy that I have, that the world didn't give and the world can't take away. And I am so glad that that comes across because that's the way I really feel, frankly. That is the way I really feel. It is not an act. As I've said so many times before, look, we are on our way to heaven. The rest is gravy. And yes, we have to deal with Jesus said, in the world you shall have tribulation. But then he said something really strange after a statement like that. But be of good cheer, but be joyful, be absolutely filled with a sense of assurance and confidence that all will be well because I have overcome the world. You know, I often think about that woman. You remember that woman who Elisha would stop by? She and her husband built an apartment for him to stay in his travels. And he would stay there, and they would feed him and take care of him, the prophet of God. And when her son died of a sunstroke out in the field with her husband, she packed the boy up, put him on her cart, and drove to see Elijah because she believed that the man of God could help her. And do you remember when Elisha said to her, "Woman, is it well with you? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with your son?" She had a dead kid in her cart, in her carriage, or her wagon, whatever she was driving. And you remember what her answer was? "It is well. It is well." You know, I said, man, that woman had some faith, brother and sisters. That woman had some faith. You know, she said, "It is well." And, you know, I say the same thing. You're aware of COVID? Yes. But it is well. You're aware of all of this craziness with the election, the cheating, the fraud, yes, but it is well. Well, how can you say it is well? Because I know in whom I have believed, and I know what the outcome of this is ultimately going to be. You know, I have no doubt that that woman knew that Elisha was going to raise her son from the dead. I think she just knew it, because after all, he had prophesied that she was going to have a child because she had been childless. And I think she just went there with absolute confidence. And we ought to have absolute confidence that God is going to get this mess straightened out. We know that ultimately he is. But even before Jesus returns, that it's all going to be worked out. Now, I started off saying I'm fired up because there are some things that are worth fighting for. And, you know, when you are in Christ, you can fight with a smile on your face. You can fight with a smile on your face. Jesus said, speak the truth. The word says, speak the truth in love. You can fight with love in your heart. But fight we must. Now, the Bible says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And having done all to stand, stand therefore. You know, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness and the shield of faith and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and having in your hand the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. That's fighting clothes, folks. That's fighting clothes. And so there are times when we just have to fight. Now, I'm talking about the good fight of faith. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Now, all you leftists, you just might as well just sit back and because I'm about to speak foreign language to you. I'm probably speaking a foreign language. All the leftists monitoring the program now because they don't get it, because the natural man cannot receive the things of the spirit, neither does he know them because they're spiritually discerned. But the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought under obedience to Jesus Christ. We win. And that's why I'm full of joy. But I'm fired up because there are a couple of things that have just gotten me godly angry. You know, Christians can be angry. There's nothing wrong with that. The Bible says be angry and sin not. We'd have to be angry and curse. We'd have to be angry and shoot somebody or hurt somebody. But we can be angry and take a stand without apology or compromise or equivocation. You know, I was reading last night about this is what first got me fired up. I said, I'm going to bring this up on the program. You know, they're still doing, and maybe they've been doing them anyway, but the mainstream media has been covering for them, these drag queen story times. Yeah. Yeah, and some people protested in two cities, Missouri and Denver, here recently against drag queen story time. They are getting toddlers and kindergartners and trying to indoctrinate them with this sexual perversion, and we're all supposed to applaud it. And you have some parents demented enough to take their children to this mess and applaud it and praise it. And folks, this stuff is sick. It is sick. And you know, I don't hate drag queens, whatever that means. I don't hate transgenders, and I don't hate homosexuals, and I'm sure you all don't either. Those of you listening to me don't either. But I tell you what, or the idea of using children in their sick, perverse game and trying to, in effect, either desensitize children to the sickness and perversion of their lifestyles and trying to recruit children, in effect, into that perversion, into that abomination. Boy, that makes my blood boil. It really does. It really does. Because these children are innocent and they deserve to keep their innocence. And instead, you got a bunch of these perverted people who they're not satisfied to live a life of degradation for themselves. They want to degrade our kids. They want to drag them into the morass, the filth of their own lifestyles, their own way of looking at the world. And toddlers and kindergartners, are you kidding me? I encourage all of you listening to me, if you find out one of these things is happening in your area, you ought to get with some family and friends and go up there peacefully now, peacefully, and say, why is this happening? Folks, this is child abuse. And register your objections. And you know, the thing is, public libraries are doing this stuff, and public libraries are funded by our taxpayer dollars. And I have a feeling they're paying some of these clowns to come in there and pervert our children. Now, there's an interesting Wall Street Journal. A reporter decided that instead of just drawing conclusions based on what he was hearing, he wanted to go to one of these things and see what actually happened. And he said he did. And what he found was interesting. He said because he found that the children really weren't interested. It was the parents who were interested. It was the parents trying to push this, and of course the drag queen or queens trying to push this on the children. He said the children, in fact, they recoil from it. You know what I thought to myself? There's something inherent in these kids that lets them know that what they're being offered is wrong, and the parents don't even get it. Back in a moment.
This is Viewpoints with Kirby Anderson. The finance minister for Louis XIV once explained that the art of taxation consists in so plucking the goose as to obtain the largest possible amount of feathers with the smallest possible amount of hissing. Unfortunately, many liberal politicians don't seem to know where the line is between plucking the golden goose and killing the golden goose. This is certainly true of political leaders in Seattle and San Francisco. 2 years ago, I wrote about how liberals were sleepless in Seattle. There's very little rest for progressives who want to invent other ways to extract more gold from the golden goose. The city council approved a head tax on companies that made more than $20 million a year. It's not hard to guess how some of the companies around Seattle would respond. You may have noticed that Amazon, Boeing, and a number of other companies began building outside of the state of Washington. They still may have their headquarters there, but we've seen these companies are looking for lower tax venues. I thought of the Seattle example when I read about the decision by the political leaders in San Francisco to pass a wealth tax aimed at the corporate executives. The supporters call it the overpaid executive tax. The tax is aimed at companies that pay their CEO more than 100 times the median pay of their workforce. In other words, these politicians feel they should decide what companies pay their top executives. We may have some moral questions about the extravagant pay some corporate executives receive, but it makes little sense to use those questions to justify greater taxes. So if the goal is to make a moral statement, perhaps these politicians succeeded. If their goal was to raise more taxes, they will find that it will probably hasten the departure of more businesses from San Francisco. I'm Kirby Anderson, and that's my point of view.
For a free copy of Kirby's booklet, A Biblical View on Loneliness, go to viewpoints.info/loneliness. That's viewpoints.info/loneliness.
Here on American Family Radio, this is David Wolin with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. It's hard to describe the emotions you feel when your first child is born. More than anything, most new parents just want to hold their baby and to show their little person off to the world. Do you think that's how Mary and Joseph felt? Well, I do, but they were far away from home. Nobody knew them, so they must have been surprised to see a crowd of shepherds and to hear their tale about a surprise angel concert announcing the birth of their baby. But we know this. It all meant the world to Mary. Luke 2 says that all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. And what about you? Are you treasuring Jesus in your heart today? Deepen your walk with Him through time in God's Word. Visit getanchor.com.
Brian Fisher here. Joe Biden is already cooking up excuses as to why nobody is going to come to his inauguration. Jill Biden's doctoral dissertation is borderline illiterate. In all the post-election litigation, how many times was the president's legal team allowed to present evidence in court? And Dr. Fauci condemns American freedom and individuality. Next on Focal Point.
The Awakening.
The Awakening.
Download and listen at your leisure with the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to our host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
Be sure to check out our podcast page, folks. Go to our website, AFR.net, and you'll see all the podcasts listed. This program, for example, is up usually within 2-3 hours after all the programs are, 2-3 hours after the program airs. So if you want to share this with someone, you want to encourage them to listen, that's a great way to do it, because that way they may be busy while we're on live, but may say, "But this is something you really need to listen to. Check it out." And they can go and do that at their convenience and on their schedule. Now, I'm going to take your calls probably in the next segment, because there are a couple things I want to get out. Now, some may be thinking, well, why, with all the things going on, why in the world are you talking about Drag Queen Story Hour? I mean, that's kind of a side issue. Well, just give me a second here. Give me a few minutes. I'm going to show you that I think this is all part of a total scheme to do something. And it hit me. Well, actually, very early this morning. You know, sometimes I wake up in the morning and I have these sort of epiphanies, these revelations. I guess maybe the rest, the sleep calming my mind allows me to see something I didn't see before. But I'm going to say something to you today that I think you're going to find fairly shocking. So just stand by for that. By the way, you know these drag queen story times, they don't just entertain the children with tricks and songs. They're reading literature to them about homosexual relationships. The Wall Street Reporter said, yeah, they were reading from two books about same-sex relationships. Some of them cast in the form of animals and this sort of thing. But yeah, reading to these young children about same-sex relationships. Now, I'm not suggesting they were pornographic. I think the reporter would probably have said it, so if that were the case. But they're talking about two people of the same gender being married and all of that stuff. These kids. And you think, what kind of sick mind wants toddlers and kindergartners to hear that? What kind of sick mind thinks that's important that they hear it? Well, I'll show you in a second where I think all of this is ultimately going. Now, here's the second thing I want to bring up, and then I'm going to give you this rather shocking conclusion, this kind of epiphany that I came to today. George Soros, as you all know, is spending hundreds of millions of dollars around the country trying to get prosecutors elected. And this guy, George Gascon, that he got elected in Los Angeles County, is right now undoing sentences where people, or at least is refusing to allow anybody to be tried under the death penalty, or even life without the possibility of parole. He said that will not be possible for him. He will not do that. And right now there's a person who is, I think, about to be tried, who he is going to make sure that there's no possibility of life without parole. And he killed two people. He killed a Russian Olympic athlete, a medal winner, and he killed a police deputy sitting in his car minding his business. And then he robbed a gas station as icing on the cake before they caught him. And this prosecutor is saying he is not going to seek life without the possibility of parole. This man is a double murderer. And felony robbery with a firearm. But he's not going to do anything to make sure that he stays in prison for the rest of his life. And of course, the families of both that Russian athlete and that deputy sheriff are beside themselves. I mean, just beside themselves to think that this man, after killing their loved ones who had done nothing to him, who were completely innocent, after killing them, he will actually have the possibility of being out of prison again to do who knows what to whom. Now, you have to ask the question, why is George Soros investing money in prosecutors? Why is he spending money to get people in these positions? I don't understand this part of it. George Soros has made his money through manipulating the capitalist system, some of it, and probably a significant amount of it, he's made illegally. That's why he's been banned from some countries and he's persona non grata in many, because he manipulates their monetary systems and all of that. The man is, he's demonic. George Soros is demonic. Why is he doing that? There's got to be a reason behind it. I mean, what I don't understand about him is somebody who makes money through capitalism, legitimately or not, who seems to want to destroy that system, the system whereby he made money. And that's something that puzzles me about all of these big tech moguls, these Silicon Valley people. But I just chalk it up to what, here again, Lenin and Stalin said, they're useful idiots. They're too stupid, frankly. They're very brilliant at what they do. It allows them to make a lot of money. But they're intellectually too stupid to understand and too lacking in any spiritual insight to understand that they are cutting their own throats, that they're committing suicide, because they're setting us up to enter a system in which they would be the first to go and their properties would be the first to be seized. And they just don't get that. But here again, for him to be spending money on prosecutors, and what are the prosecutors doing? They're trying to make sure that criminals are released as early as possible or not put in jail at all, which is a strange thing for a prosecutor. Prosecutors are usually gung-ho to put people in jail, sometimes a little overzealous in that regard. But no, he's financing people who don't want to put anybody in jail, no matter how heinous the crime. Here's a prosecutor who doesn't want a guy to get life without parole after a double murder of two innocent people, including a sheriff's deputy. And you all know that the Chicago prosecutor, one of the prosecutors who was involved in, I got to go back and get those facts, but one of the prosecutors that he financed had to withdraw from the case because the prosecutor had used, it was the family, the husband and wife who pulled out their weapons when people encroached on their property, when a mob encroached on their property to defend themselves. The prosecutor who was trying to prosecute them had to withdraw because she used that incident to raise money and basically made clear that she was not interested in the law. She was interested in punishing these people because they violated her understanding of whether people should be able to defend themselves with firearms when people rush into their property to do harm to them. And I had no doubt that they would have been hurt severely or killed had they not had those weapons. But anyway, she's another George Soros prosecutor. I'll get her name in a second, but she's another George Soros prosecutor. Why? And what is it? Do these two things have anything to do with each other? I think they do. And here is what I think is going on. And I think you can. This is related to the push for illegal immigrants to come into the country, the push to bring Muslims into the country, the push to teach our young people to hate our country, the push to stoke racial division and conflict and animosity, to keep people on edge and to keep people believing that America is a place of such gross social and racial injustice that it's almost unconscionable that anyone could love this country. That's what they're pushing. And here's the epiphany I had. You ready for this? This is what hit me. These people are ultimately going to try to create a sufficient electoral majority. As I've said, they're calling it the new American majority, made up of quote-unquote progressive whites and quote-unquote people of color. And when they do that, if they can ever get that, like they've gotten it in California, what they want to do is repeal our Constitution. They want to debunk our Declaration of Independence and create a completely new country. I'm serious about that. Because look, where else can this go? If you're teaching people that you hate America, you're teaching people that America is a horrible place, that the Constitution, by the way, they're telling me the Constitution is racist. It's a racist document. The Declaration of Independence is a racist document because it was passed, it was written by a bunch of slave owners and racists. Where else can you go? You get rid of our Constitution, you repeal it, you literally declare the Declaration no longer valid, and you start over again with a new country based upon socialist principles without God, without Judeo-Christian values. You completely reconstitute America. You say, well, Bishop, that seems a little far-fetched. Look, folks, do you remember when Ronald Reagan got elected governor of California? Look at California now. I watched as they tried to, they meaning the homosexual activists, tried to get a gay rights bill passed in Massachusetts for 17 years, and they were relentless. They never, ever, ever quit. And they finally got it done. Georgia was once a reliably red state. Look at what they've done to Georgia. Ted Cruz won in 2012 by 16 points. He won his last election by 2.6. I know that may sound shocking, but when I think about what I've witnessed over the last 40 years, it's clear to me that's exactly what they're after. Back in a moment.
It's my turn.
Here is your host for My Turn, Don Wildman.
Criticism. All of us, at one time or another, are victims of it. And all of us, sometimes too often, are guilty of it. But there is nothing basically wrong with criticism in itself. It is only that we humans have a way of misusing it. Most of our criticism isn't constructive or even given in a spirit of helpfulness. Most of our criticism is nothing more than our attempt to belittle another's efforts. And that's where the real problem comes in. We have no higher purpose in our criticism than to make someone else look bad. It's too bad that we don't use criticism more like our Maker intended for us to use it, in a spirit of love and concern for those we criticize. You know, I have an idea that if we used it in that method, there would be a lot less of it and more constructive results from it. Did you ever notice that those who get the most criticism usually give very little of it? And at the same time, these people usually do the most good for society and are appreciated the least for their efforts. Sure, there are exceptions, but generally speaking, that's the way it appears. I guess the reason that those who get criticized the most give very little criticism is that they know the deep hurt which cruel, cutting, unfair criticism brings. There are very few hurts that can compare with it. No one is immune to criticism, and those who more fully try to follow the way of the Galilean sometimes suffer the most. Many have been the number of people who have been pure in heart and sincerely trying to help their fellow man who have been criticized ever so harshly. I may be wrong about the matter, but I am of the opinion that if we are to be critical of someone or their way, we should at least offer a better way. Else, what good have we accomplished by our criticism? Any idiot can do the same, that is, be critical without being constructive. The fisher of men once said something about having a log in our own eye and trying to take a splinter from the eye of another. He said we would do well to first get the log from our own eye before trying to remove the splinter from our neighbor's eye. You know, the tragedy is that we don't follow this very practical advice. No, we can spot the smallest splinter in another while looking straight through our own log. 'Tis a real shame that this is the case, but the case it is. Once a person sets his sights high in this life, he's opened the door for severe criticism. For history records that those who have done the most for mankind have been those who have suffered the most criticism. So if one has ambition about leaving the world a better place to live, he'd better get prepared for the criticism that will follow. And while we know that to be the truth, somehow it just doesn't take away the hurt that criticism brings.
This has been My Turn with Don Wildman, a production of the American Family Association.
The Awakening.
The Awakening.
Download and listen at your leisure with the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to our host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
The number is 888-589-8840. I've got a couple of other things I'll raise with you all, but let's continue on this because I want to really drive this point home and help you all see what I think I'm seeing. Do you remember when Bernie Sanders' aide, one of his aides, said, if Bernie Sanders becomes president, of course we're going to have re-education camps because we have to denazify these people? Yeah, he actually said that. Of course we're going to have to do that. Because Americans are Nazified. We are Nazis, you see. And you've got to, that's got to be, we have to be re-educated to get that out. Hillary Clinton, we're a basket of deplorables. And that's an interesting way of saying it, the basket of deplorables. And what's a basket for? It's for throwing stuff into. You throw them all into the basket. And I don't know what you do with them when you get them in the basket, but... And you think, well, we would never vote to repeal our Constitution. Right, we wouldn't. But what if you can raise up a whole generation that has contempt for the Constitution, that thinks it's in the way, that it's an antiquated, racist document that has to go. I mean, this is what they're playing for, folks. They're playing for a revolution in America. I don't think they want to have a violent revolution, because I don't think they think they need to do that. I think they can do that without any violence. They can just do it step by step, and the American people can sit on the sidelines and watch it happen. This is the Gramsciite society that Pete Buttigieg's father talked about. He created the International Gramsci Society. This is the communist Gramsci strategy for how you overthrow a country, how you overthrow a culture. We can see it happening right before our eyes. And it just hit me. Yeah, this is not about an ongoing debate back and forth. That's not what they want. They want America as we know it done away with. And they want to create a new construct. And that new construct would be under some kind of, I don't know what, but it wouldn't be the Constitution of the United States. And they would not, because they're already saying that our founding was not on January 4th, 1776. Our founding was in 1619. That's what it's all about. America wasn't founded when the founders declared independence from Britain. America was founded when the first slaves were brought. That's the real America. The real America is slavery. The real America is hatred and bigotry and injustice and exploitation. That's the real America. You got to do away with that. So what do we do? Well, I want to hear what you all think. I mean, obviously, we got to get our children out of these indoctrinating schools. See, that's what having kids in kindergarten and toddlers at the drag queen story hour is all about. It's about capturing the minds and hearts of Americans at the earliest possible stage so you can lead them where you want them to go. 888-589-8840 is the number. Folks, this election situation is proceeding as it's proceeding. And I'm still believing God for a miracle. But in the meantime, Joe Biden is going ahead with, he's getting the presidential briefings. He's making appointments. As you all know, Pete Buttigieg has been chosen for transportation secretary, and he has promised to bring racial justice to the transportation department. Well, you know, well, of course, he's a communist too, just like his daddy. Really, he's cut from the same cloth. His father was a straight up communist, and Notre Dame never said anything about it. But his father was a straight up communist and a devotee of Antonio Gramsci, and wanted America to be exactly what the Gramsciites are trying to make America. And now Pete Buttigieg is Secretary of Transportation. What does he say? Not, I am going to revamp our transportation system. I'm going to do it, improve it in this way, A, B, C, D. No, no, no. We're going to bring racial justice to transportation in America. What a, oh, brother. 888-589-8840. I'm still smiling, folks, but I'm smiling because of you and me and the fact that God is on the throne. And now that it's clear to me what they really want to do, we are not going to let them do it. All right, let's come to your calls. Let's go to Doug in Oklahoma. Doug, welcome.
Yes, sir. I was stationed in the military in Atlanta, 1963. The city installed two-way mirrors in the men's restroom and the downtown library. Police behind the mirror were catching men and arresting them if they caught in the homosexual act. And that they can no longer do that. And yeah. I just thought I'd relay that to you since you said something about 40 years ago.
Yeah, well, look. We know this, and folks, this is hard medicine to take, and you know, if I were with any other network, I'd probably get in trouble for saying this because, of course, everybody's bowed to the homosexual lobby. But the fact of the matter is, this idea of anonymous hookups and all of that, That's something that the homosexual community has introduced to the country because women, generally speaking, don't want to have anything to do with that. That's been the approach, you know, truck stops and you know, certain bathrooms. You all remember, I think it was a senator not too long ago, well, a few years ago now, who got arrested in a restroom in an airport. And apparently this restroom was a known hookup for homosexuals and the anonymous sex. I mean, let's face it, folks. It is always unhealthy to do something other than what God tells us to do. It's never good for us. But you are witnessing that at several orders of magnitude with homosexuality today. And it's not just what adults want to do with each other, which is really their business. They have to answer to God for that. But now it's becoming more and more an attempt to try to inculcate and use children to advance their cause. And folks, that's a bridge too far. Thank you for the call, Doug. Let's go to Barbara in Mississippi. Barbara, welcome.
Yes, Bishop Jackson. I was calling about, you were talking about they were wanting to get rid of the death penalty or even imprisonment for life. My mother was murdered back in 2010. Oh. And she was 70 years old. And in 2013, he was convicted of capital murder and got the death penalty. I have forgiven him in my heart for myself.
Okay.
But I don't think that these people who have never even had anything touch them as deeply as this could even think about something like that. I mean, it's just,
well,
I think if he would have gotten away with it, he would have done it again. And I'll hang up and listen. Thank you.
Well, thank you for calling, Barbara. First of all, so sorry to hear about what happened to your mother. Look, Barbara, I think that the people who are promoting this kind of policy are people who want to destabilize our country. I think that's what it's all about. They want to destabilize the system as we know it. They want to create a crisis that forces us to feel that we've got to have something different than what we've got because what we've got is not working. Because it doesn't make any sense otherwise. Why would you want to see people on the street who you know murder other people? And why would a prosecutor want that? That's the only explanation for it. So yeah, Paula, other than that, it doesn't make any sense. It goes to this theme, the fundamental transformation of America, which means repealing our Constitution, giving us some other basis upon which to live, and frankly, invalidating the Declaration of Independence as a legitimate founding document for our country. But so sorry to hear about your mother. And I know they probably haven't executed that person yet, but you're right. Personal forgiveness and the requirement of societal justice are two different things, okay? We should forgive people personally because God commands us to do that. But that doesn't mean you get to walk away after having committed a heinous act like murder and rape and all of that. No, you must pay the price and you must be punished for having done such things. Back in a moment.
American Family Radio newscasts are now available as a podcast.
I'm Rusty Pugh.
I'm Steve Jordahl.
Didn't catch the full story? Listen to the podcast.
I'm Chris Woodward.
I'm Chad Groening.
Didn't have the radio on at the top of the hour? Listen to the podcast.
I'm Charlie Bunch.
And I'm Fred Jackson.
Get accurate news from a Christian perspective whenever you want it with the American Family News podcast. You can also sign up for our daily news brief. Visit onenewsnow.com.
A prayer. Lord God, thank you for using American Family Radio to share your truth and love in this increasingly tumultuous time. Please don't let our love grow cold as we see wickedness increasing. Help us stand firm for you even to the end. Help us to preach the gospel of your kingdom to the whole world as a testimony. Help us to make the most of this platform you have given us to promote your name, the name of Jesus. Amen.
If you've fallen behind in your credit card payments during the shutdown, you're probably feeling some added pressures. And even a brief history of late payments can lead to a big drop in your credit score. But you don't have to solve these problems alone. Trinity Debt Management can help. We'll work with your creditors, put a stop to late fees and other penalties, and make a plan that helps you get caught up. We'll also consolidate your bills into one easy-to-manage monthly payment and negotiate much lower interest rates. Not only will you find immediate relief, you'll save thousands. And don't worry, it's not a loan. It's a smart way to get back on track. All you have to do is give Trinity a quick call, and we'll take care of the rest. Right now, no one really knows what the future will bring, but one thing is for sure. If your debt has you down, we should talk. Here's the number.
Call 1-800-788-1813. That's 1-800-788-1813.
There's a level of expectation people have, and there's a level of understanding that makes them think this is just the way it is, and it's the way it has to be, and there's not much more we can do about it.
Love is a choice, and sometimes we have to make a daily decision to love our spouse, as Dr. Ron Welch explains on Focus on the Family Minute.
Choice theory says that in every single situation, you have opportunities. God created us to be a certain kind of person in His image, and we can act in that image if we so choose, or we can act not to. And so what I've done in my understanding of choice theory is to apply that to how couples make choices. Whether it's getting up in the morning and deciding, today I'm going to honor my wife, I'm going to look at her in the face and tell her how beautiful she is, and I'm going to try to be a person that will honor and respect and love my partner, or I'm going to be someone who will honor and respect and love my wife or my husband in a way that is more about me than about them.
Choose to love your spouse. More from Ron at FamilyMinute.org.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
To show you how crazy this has gotten, you know that Joe Biden has gotten himself in trouble because he referred to Pete Buttigieg. Oh, by the way, who is going to be the first homosexual Secretary of Transportation? Because after all, being homosexual gives you great insight into what to do about transportation. Whoa, this is a real breakthrough. But he called Pete Buttigieg's husband, and I choke at saying that, because a man can't have a husband, okay? Come on. A woman can't have a wife. That's ridiculous. But nevertheless, he called Pete Buttigieg's partner, or whatever you want to call him, Kirsten. Well, it's a guy, and his name is not Kirsten. You know what that's called? It's called misgendering. You know, you get fired for that. The left probably ought to fire Joe Biden, because after all, he just misgendered Pete Buttigieg's husband, whatever. This stuff is insane. You know, people who buy into all this stuff are buying into a kind of mass psychosis, a cult-like state of being mesmerized into denying reality. The number is 888-589-8840. Back to your calls. Let's go to Paula in Oklahoma. Paula, welcome.
Hi, Bishop. I just want to say that you are spot on there indoctrinating children. I lived as a homosexual for almost 35 years, and I am now a born-again Christian. And that's been about 8 years now. I'm 57, and I'm in the middle of a Bible Belt, and this is a small town that I live in, and there is a man, and he on the weekend is a drag queen, and then he is a fifth grade teacher, and some of his stuff that he puts on, you know, is. Other people don't even have a clue, and these are so-called Christians, and they think everything's just fine. They don't have a clue of what he is doing.
Wow.
And it just blows my mind how people are so, yes, we're supposed to love everybody, you know, but we're supposed to tell them the truth. The truth, that's what was told to me, that by the grace Amen. Of God, I am born again.
Amen.
And it just, I don't understand how the church is just being so blinded by this, and they're scared they're going to hurt feelings if they speak up against this.
Well, Paula, God bless you. And you open with, you know, your own background. And it's, here again, proof positive. God loves us all. He wants to deliver us all. And he delivered you. And I just praise God for that. And I praise God for someone like you who is willing to speak up and help us all to realize this stuff is not innocent. It's not cute. It's not nice. It's not, it's perverse, and we've got to, you're right, we've got to speak up against it. We've got to speak the truth in love. We know they won't take it that way, by the way. They're going to take it as hatred, but that, we can't help that. We've got to defend and protect our children. That's the bottom line. So, Paula, God bless you. Thank you so much for calling, and you are a testament to the power of Jesus Christ to transform our lives. And he's done that for every single one of us who's put our trust in him. So thank you, Paula. Let's go to Gloria in Illinois. Gloria, welcome.
Hello.
Hi.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I certainly can.
I wanted you to know I tried to call you on the phone 3 times this morning because Jesus told me that I need to tell you this and everybody here over the airs, and this is what it is. How can anybody that is really a Christian vote for anybody that's for abortion? And then the Lord said, when I went to text someone one day just a few weeks ago, when you push that, put that ballot mark on there, you become a murderer too. Oh!
Well, Gloria,
and
look,
Jesus wants to ask you, people will hear it in Georgia and all around, and I believe the Lord will let it be his spirit that will move over them. Just because they're saying Biden's in, there's prophecy of God that Trump will have 2 terms. Of several ministries have had prophecy.
I know.
To hear them talking, believing all things of the Lord. And the weekend before Amen. The lockdown, I told him to a friend, don't fear because Jesus Christ is here.
Thank you, Gloria. Appreciate the call. Look, I have friends who put it this way, and it reminded me, this sort of gave me an insight, because I often struggle with the same thing. How can a Christian vote for people who would do such things and support such things? And I don't know whether this is the answer, but in fact, I've heard Andrew Womack say this on a number of occasions. You know, you could be a Christian and not be a true disciple or follower of Jesus Christ. In other words, you've never matured beyond the carnal stage. Maybe you are saved. Maybe you are born again, but you've stayed locked in a carnal condition and you are still following the world. Now, I don't know whether that's the answer or not, but you're right. Something is clearly wrong. And if people don't realize, Christians don't realize that when they cast their vote for someone who supports abortion, when they cast their vote for someone who supports homosexuality and tries to make same-sex marriage, legitimate marriage, you are supporting it too. And so, yeah, how can a Christian do that? I struggle with that myself. But thank you for the call. Gloria, let's go to Mark in Texas. Mark, welcome.
Hi, Bishop Jackson. I just
yes.
wanted to start by complimenting you. You're my favorite voice to hear on the radio.
Well, that's kind
all
of
the
you.
Time
Thank
and
you.
I love them all, but whenever you're on, I just like to stop and listen.
Well,
with that in mind,
you.
I have a question for you to comment on some of the stuff you just were saying in a bit. You know, so the fringe elements used to be fringe, calling for the denazification camps and stuff like that. You know, used to that was like, what? Nobody even believes that. But now it's 3 or 4 people that are not fringe, right?
Yeah.
How should we respond to that? Like, kind of in the context of what was it, Bonhoeffer and those guys who kind of late stepped in with some kind of, you know, what I'm getting at. There's far-right people who, you know, aren't ready to start shooting people and stuff, but
yeah.
What is the normal right Christian person attitude towards that kind of thing should be, you think?
Well, Mark, thank you for the compliment and thank you for the call, too. I think, Mark, that what we Christians have got to do is not wait. You know the story of how Adolf Hitler ultimately brought the entire world into World War One, World War II. It was only possible because the Europeans and America sat back and watched him step by step and basically did nothing. Did nothing. Just, well, you know, okay, well, he marched into Austria. But after all, Austria is really kind of part of Germany. No, no problem. He marched into Sudetenland. Well, you know, Sudetenland's kind of part of, you know, Germany too. And we understand. He marched into Czechoslovakia. Well, that's a little bit problematic. But, you know, let's see how all... And he just kept taking more and more and more territory until finally he marched into Poland and Great Britain, I think, first realized, okay, he's coming for us. And I think we Christians have got to understand you can't compromise with this stuff. You know, that's why you hear me use homosexuality rather than gay and why you hear me call this stuff out boldly and unapologetically and unabashedly. I'm not trying to be mean, but what I am trying to do is counter the narrative that they want everybody to buy into. And it's just sad. Folks, I'll be very honest. I think I used to do Fox literally 2-3 times a week. And I think it's my position on homosexuality that stopped that from happening. We've got the institutions of our country just bought into this stuff. So I think what we as Christians have got to do, we do it in love, but we do it boldly. We do it firmly. We do it unapologetically. We stand up for our First Amendment rights and we stand up for our viewpoint. And we just make it hard for them to do what Hitler did, which is, and I'm not saying they're Hitler, but you understand the analogy. It was the reluctance to speak up and stand up against him that put him in the position ultimately of causing the deaths of 60 million people. So here again, I hope you get the analogy because, you know, you can be accused, you bring up Hitler. But I'm just using the historical analysis of how he ultimately came to get World War II started. And I see, because I really believe that had people in Europe, had it not been for this idiot Chamberlain, had they stood up the moment he began to move, we might not have had World War II. And Germans might have dealt with Hitler. But he was having so much success that they thought, wow, Hitler is like, he's the man. He's the man. And, you know, how can we not follow him? Look, even all of Europe is bowing at his feet. So, of course, we are in a domestic situation. But I think if we as Christians bow at the feet of these leftists, Marxists, socialists, communists, these homosexual radicals who want to devour our children, these people who think that, well, you can't say anything about illegal immigration because if you say anything about illegal immigration, you're a racist, you're anti-Hispanic. If we bow to that stuff, we'll look up one day and we won't have a country. Just like Europe looked up one day and almost didn't have Europe. So we just have to stand. We have to stand up, step up, and speak up. There you go. Stand up, step up. And speak up. And some of you, the Lord laid this on my heart earlier today. Some of you have got to step up and run for school board or run for city council or get involved in your own community and making your voice heard. And I know sometimes it seems like the tide is so running so strongly against us that it hardly makes any sense to say anything. But, you know, I just believe this. With God, all things are possible, and one person can make a dramatic difference if you'll just stand up for the truth. And you may not even see it, but it'll happen. Well, listen, God bless all of you. Thank you so much for listening. Please keep praying for us here at AFR, all of us. And in the meantime, just keep a smile on your face, joy in your heart, and remember that we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.